My name's Teresa. I'm an alcoholic.
Teresa!
Welcome back. Quick break. I want to congratulate all you guys, troopers, for hanging in here. And I know it's a lot of information. I was saying perhaps 2 days would be better, but we got 1 day here. It's a lot to take in 1 day. So I appreciate your patience and trying to get it in, and I don't want to shortchange any step.
Nope.
You know, so I'm doing my best here to try to get it all in. But as my sponsor always pointed out to me, this is a lifelong process, so I'm sure more and more will be revealed and more will be unfolded. So it's just scratching the surface, right? Giving an idea of how it works. God, grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, the courage to change the things I can, and the wisdom to know the difference. Now that I've stepped into asking this higher power to take away these character defects, I now get an opportunity to go back and clean up the wreckage of my past, which is in 8 and 9. And in 8, it tells me to just make a list of the people that I've harmed. Again, I just don't know how to stress the fact on how this thing is not about thinking so much. I think we think too much. We process too much. This was action steps. To me, there were steps that I was just doing them. It doesn't mean that I was completely detached from them emotionally. I was just doing them. The very first time I did them, because I needed to get what was called a working knowledge of the steps. These were blueprints for life. I was going to learn how to practice them daily. But the first time I did them, I was just doing them. They used to just tell me that. I have a cup that says, just do it. And watch what happens to you. And if I'm just doing it, I'm out of the way. I get out of the way. And then I really witness a miracle. Because I say to myself, I didn't really have too much to do with the result of all this. As opposed to me being up in it, then I think I'm doing something. And so I just got out of the way. And my first inventory, you know, I didn't even cry. And I had a lot on there. I was just like, oh, yes, resentment, so-and-so, yep, they sodomized me, yep, that affected my self-esteem, sure did, yep, I was being selfish, I didn't want to be sodomized, okay, and so-and-so did that, and yes, it affected this, and I believe that I was selfish and self-centered and dishonest. My sponsor didn't ask more of me, that's the best that I can do at that time.
Yeah.
That was the best that I can do, I was doing it. I wanted to be sober. I was going to be doing more of it. Wasn't until 3 years of my sobriety that I was started crying and crying like a big baby. I heard God don't give you more than you can handle. And that's all that I can handle at that time. I had a lot of stuff going on. I came in here very damaged. I tell people if I've had to experience what I've experienced in the last 18 years, in my first year, I would have blew my brains out. I'm going to blow my brains out. More and more will be revealed. I made a list of people I harmed. Where did I get it from? The majority came from my inventory. And I just made the list, for goodness sake. It's not like those people didn't know that I didn't harm them. What's the secret? Everybody knows I caused them harm. What am I worried about? I think the only step that freaked me out than any other step was 9. I wasn't worried about the 4th or the 5th. 6, 7, 8, 9 jacked me up. Because I now needed to go to these people and tell them what I had done. But I became a woman in 9. That's why I say I became a woman was in step 9. The answer to 6 is in 7. The answer in 7 is in 8. The answer to 8 is in 9. You know where I want to see my... You know what? When I see my character defects being removed? In 9. In 7, I ask this higher power to remove my character defects. And I experience that in 9. That's why they say faith without works is dead. I have faith in what? That my character defects are going to be removed. And I witnessed it in 9. You know how? Because for me to go knock on your door and tell you what I've caused you harm is selfless. I am not selfish. For me to go and knock on your door and tell you what I've done is honest. I am not dishonest. For me to go and knock on your door, I am not self-centered. I am thinking of you. That's something. I'm no longer self-righteous and arrogant. I can't be those things and knock on your door. It's not going to happen. I witnessed my character defects being removed in 9. That's why the promises come true in 9. We read them in meetings. If we're painstaking about this phase of our development, we'll be amazed before we're halfway through. You know when that happens? After 9. I can't believe I went back and clean house. I actually had to go to this man who used to beat me on a daily basis and make amends to him. Because I didn't have a right to hate him. I needed him to be who he was. I lived in a state of victim consciousness and he fit the bill. And I had to go back and say, I didn't have a right to hate you and character assassinate you. I sought you out purposely. I became a woman that day. I was able to stand up straight. I was honest about that relationship. I didn't fear him or anybody else after that. I walked away from that feeling renewed and fresh and reborn. I began to witness this program working in my life in 9. That's why we tell you, if you're new, hurry up and keep going. Stop trying to figure it out. Have an experience. Experience these steps. I say I've learned to smell them, taste them, inhale them. They become a part of me. They're not exercises on a piece of paper. These steps are designed for living. And the areas in step 9 where it talks about our family, it says an apology is not going to do. That now it's about living a certain way. There are some people in my inventory that I now need to be something else in your life. Because I spent my life saying, I'm sorry to you. You've heard it enough, I'm sorry. And amends is something that I now do and I don't do it again. It's like if you have a hole in a sock and you mend it, you don't have a hole anymore. I don't go out and make amends to you and then turn around and do it again. The hardest amends that I had to make was to my mother. And I love sharing this on 9. Even though people said she did the best she could with what she had, and we hear that all the time, it just wasn't working for me. Just wasn't. I was willing. It tells me just to remain willing, and I really was. I was willing, but man, it bugged me. I was born addicted. I don't believe I had a choice. And I still carried that around with me. So she gave me alcohol. Some of y'all picked it up. I didn't have the choice to pick it up or not. She left me. She beat me. I had a lot to say about mommy. Yeah, she was sick. But I was a child. And it wasn't fair. My sponsor gave me permission to be angry. Nobody had ever given me permission to be angry before. She said, you have a right to be angry. And I took a couple of weeks doing that. And I said, you know, I need to remain willing. And I just remain willing. Then one day I went out to this place in Montana to see an elder of mine. And she told me a story. She told me about the queen of the upper world and the queen of the underworld. It's a beautiful story. And I listened to the story and said, oh, that's real cute. Thank you for sharing. And then after that, she looked at me and she said, tell me your mother's story. I said, I beg your pardon. She said, tell me your mother's story. And I couldn't. And I got it. And I got it. I went back to Los Angeles. I knocked on my mother's door. And I told her that it had been arrogant of me to think that she should be something other than who she is. For I have not walked in her shoes, and I do not know the depth of her pain. I don't know her story. Isn't that something? I was finally able to make amends to my mother. What can I do to make this right? For the harm that I have caused you, the harm for hating you my entire life. And it doesn't mean that my mother and I are tippy-toeing through the tulips. But it has certainly gotten better. My life has changed as a result of it. I no longer hate women as a result of it. I no longer hate myself because she is my reflection and my mirror. The program works.
Is your mother involved too?
Yes. 22 years. And what was amazing about that is that my mother was prepared to hear from me that I no longer wanted anything to do with her. That she felt that if this program gave me that, and after the work I had done, I came to a place of saying, I no longer want to be in your life, she was willing to be okay with that. And instead, I said something completely different. Today, my mother has Alzheimer's. She calls me all day long asking me what day it is. To this day, she doesn't remember that I'm here. She keeps thinking I'm home. And I take care of my mother. Isn't that something? And my father. He has Parkinson's and emphysema. And my uncle, who I resented and hated my whole life. He got sober and he died 12 years of sobriety. My uncle had been telling me that he was going to die since I was 8 years old. And used that to take advantage of me and to use me since I was eight. And just 2 years ago, it was finally true. He had 3 to 6 months to live. Oh, that we danced the dance. And I watched my uncle take his last breath. And it was beautiful. As a result of this program, the healing, the forgiveness, and the love for myself and for them. For we are all sick. I'm sick and they're sick. And the amends to me was so powerful. Because I've seen the transformation take place in 9. Yes.
I would find it interesting to hear your views or making amends to dead.
I go to the cemetery if I can. If not, I take their picture, I light a candle and a glass of water, and I do it there. Because I believe spirit lives on forever.
And if they've moved away.
Then I take a picture, a glass of water and a candle, and I do it with their picture. Because I believe spirit lives forever. So they hear me. And then there are certain amends they call living amends. Like, for example, my grandmother, I did that talking to her in spirit. But with people who are older, senior citizen, and with gray hair, I respect them. I don't argue. I be of service and I help because I didn't do that with my grandmother. And so I play that out with other people. And it's helped me. And my grandmother loved me so unconditionally. I know that she was like, it's okay. You know? I just treated her so bad. And in my life, this is about character building. And what I have found that as a result of the amends, I am building now this character. And I am now beginning to practice some principles. And I'm not necessarily that person anymore. Something happens when you knock on someone's door. I can't steal from you again. It's just not the same. It's not the same anymore. It just says that I just can't quite do it. I'm not even afraid as much. It tells me I will commence to outgrow fear. It just doesn't fit right anymore. I think twice before I open up my mouth. Because now I gotta go back and make amends. So before I cause harm, I kind of tend to pause a little bit. Yes, you had your hand up.
I just wanted to ask, do you make amends to, does one make amends to people still in addiction?
Yeah. My mother made amends to me and I was in my addiction. I didn't hear nothing she said, nor did I care. But she did what she needed to do.
Even if they're not family.
Yeah. I need to go in a safe place. I brought somebody with me. I had to go back to make amends to New York because that's where everything was. And I went with a sober member and they went back with me to New York and I knocked on doors. I didn't go in a crack house or anything like that, but I did go to a bar. That's where my godfather hangs out at, and a Colombian that I owe 2 kilos to. I had a contract out for my life, and I needed to go back to him and make amends. I owed him 2 kilos. I had a contract. I couldn't hide from him. And he told me that my amends to him was that I stayed clean and sober. And the day that I didn't was the day that my life belonged to him. So I tell people, when I tell you for me to drink is to die, I don't mean it symbolically. So I keep coming back. I know what's waiting for me if I go out there. I don't have a small print in that contract that says until I'm willing to go back to AA. And I tell people, you know what's funny about that? You know what's really funny about that? That I'm a real alcoholic and addict. Do you know that that doesn't keep me sober? Knowing that he will take my life, do you know that that's how insidious this disease is? That that does not keep me sober. Great motivator, but it don't keep me sober. If I'm not in the core of Unity Recovery and Service, I know what type of alcoholic and addict I am. Do you know that he'll probably be the first person I'll knock on his door and ask him to hook me up? Yeah. Are you kidding me? This is serious. This disease ain't no joke. You would think that would motivate me, huh? I go, thank you. I'm going to keep coming back. I know what's waiting for me. So I better stay here. I better do what's suggested. Let's do this work and stop figuring it out. Because I got somebody waiting for me to slip up. And like somebody told me, I might not have the luxury of him taking my life. I'll just be his slave. That don't sound fun. So amends has been a very powerful experience for me. I saw the transformation in 9. As scary as it was, I did it anyway. Even though I had fear, it wasn't even that kind of fear that kind of ran through me. Like the other fear, I saw that lift too. I felt something. I was uncomfortable and kind of awkward and a little nervous about what was going to happen, but I did it. And I said, this program works. Because that's so out of character. 9 is out of character. That means my character defects are now being removed. And the promises come true. And at the end of the promises, it always says they will always materialize. Always. Not sometimes. Not maybe. Not possibly. It says they will always materialize if we work for them. But you gotta work for it. You don't get this through osmosis. Just going to meetings, they're going to keep you sober. That's what I was told. I got to work for it. And the results are just amazing. Yes?
What does it mean? May direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others.
What does it mean? And mainly you're talking about except when to do so would injure them or others. Is, for example, I slept with your husband and you don't know about it. And you're still married to him, and I go and I tell you so that I can clear my conscience. Now I just made a mess out of your marriage. That's a good example. Now I'm injuring you by making amends. I'm going back to harm you. And they even talk about areas in here if I may need to go to jail. For example, they tell the story about a gentleman where his wife wants child support. And she puts out, you know, like he can go to jail. They find him. And he has another family and a business that he needs to take care of. So he goes to them and he discusses it with them first. That if I turn myself in, do you understand the consequences? Because it'll affect all of us. Then it's decided through all of them with his sponsor that he write her a letter with a check. Because really all she wants is the child support. And he says, he makes his amends and says, I'm willing to send you this amount of money each time that I can or make a plan with her. But I'll turn myself in if you want me to, if that's what you really want me to do. I'm willing to do that. And she says, I don't want you to do that. Everything will be okay. Just keep sending the checks. And so it's about being mindful of the harm that I'm about to cause while I'm making amends. Am I going to cause more damage when I do this? And it's to them, not just me. Because if it's about me not hurting myself, I ain't making amends to nobody. Because I think I'm going to be hurt in a lot of ways. It's causing harm to other people. And again, I just say, just do it. And in the book, Into Action, they give us some clear description on how to go about it. What do? They say we don't argue with that person. We don't retaliate. We just talk about the part we played. Don't get all caught up. It even says, how do you go to an enemy? It says it's harder to go to an enemy to a friend, but that's where you reap the most benefits. It's easy to go a friend. Go to an enemy and have a spiritual experience. It says years of feuds will just fall. There are some people that might slam the door in your face. It's water under the bridge. That happened to me. They didn't want to talk to me. That's okay. I did what I needed to do. And there are situations that maybe I haven't even seen the person. And I stayed willing. And then one day they show up. One time I went to a movie thing. What do you call it? Premiere. And I'm there and I see this waiter. And my goodness, he looks familiar. And I was like, gosh, I think I've seen this guy before. I don't know where, but he looks familiar. So I go to him and I go, I know this might seem really odd, but you look a little familiar to me. Do you know me? And he says, do I know you? He said, you're Teresa. I gave you a ring. I asked you to marry me. I think he even bought me like a house. And you left. And you have never been back. Says, you're the reason I have problems with women to this day. Talk about adding insult to injury. I'm like, you look vaguely familiar. How embarrassing is that? Talk about a blackout. I was like, oh my goodness. We find compassion in these steps.
What happened?
I made amends to him, and I really felt bad. Not bad, like, more, you know, like, mutilate myself bad, but my goodness. The things that we do, we're clueless. Causing this harm on this person because I'm so into self, that even when I see him, he looks vaguely familiar? Man. All I could do was make amends for the harm that I caused. And I asked him what I can do. And he just said, don't do that to anybody else. I mean, it was just like, you know. And I was like, okay, you know. But for whatever reason, that's why we were in the same place at the same time. Perhaps that was something that needed to happen for him and for me. Mm-hmm. There's divine order. I believe in that. And it was necessary at that time for us to meet each other again. And release that. And so I have been released of the bondage of self. I'm no longer looking over my shoulder and paranoid about the things that I've done in my past, wondering if they're going to haunt me sometime or they're going to show up again. I'm willing to face whatever that is so that I can walk a free woman, free from the bondage of me, free from worry and fear of what I've done to you. I don't walk like that today. I've cleaned up the wreckage of my past. And when it comes up today, I clean it up quickly. I can sleep at night. I have to worry about you and what I've done to you, and you're probably out to get me. Or that I gotta get you. Which leads me to 10 and 11. I love 10 and 11 so much.
Can I ask a question, Mommy?
Yes. This is weird. What's this doing?
I think the milk went bad. Do you want me to get your
milk? Oh, yeah, that's doing something weird. Oh, the milk is like a, it's a, what color is the milk canister?
Green.
Green. It's the green one. Thank you. it's all right.
Do you always, do you insist with your sponsees that they always tell that they're an AA and that's what they're doing this amount, or is it quite necessary?
Yeah, I share with them that I'm now in the process of recovery and this is what it's asked me to do. Yeah. I don't insist a whole lot on my sponsor. I just kind of share my experience and the way it's outlined in the book. And in the book, it just says that I'm in the process of recovery and that I'm going to drink if I don't do this.
Do you say that when you contact them or when you sit down
with them? When I sit down with them. Okay. I'm going to drink if I don't do it. And then I begin listing those things that I've done. Not like I've heard some people say, I'm not sure what I've done to you, but I want to make amends. That's not an amends. That's, you offend that person. They're kind of like, you don't know what you've done to me? It's like, you better keep going to that program. My uncle tried doing that with my brother. He was like, I don't know why we're not friends and why you don't like me, but I might have caused you harm in some way. And whatever that is, can you forgive me? My brother was like, if you don't know the harm that you've caused me, then I'm not going to talk, even though he was on his deathbed, I'm not going to begin to tell you the things you've done to me. We all know the things that my uncle did to my brother. And he couldn't list them? And the person sees us and they know how sincere we are. You know what I tell people? It's amazing when the selfishness and self-centered and dishonesty is removed. In the book, it says that when we do things in that way, people retaliate, right? Or they want to snatch everything out of the show. Do you know that I could say the same thing to you without my selfishness, self-seeking, dishonesty, and fear, and I get a whole different response? It's as though people know an energetic instinct that that's your motive. That you're coming here from a selfish motive. It's like people know that. I can say the very thing to you without those motives, and I get a whole different response. You actually hear me. You actually hear me. My sponsor used to always ask me, what's your intentions? What's your motives? Okay, you're about to go be her friend. What's your intention? What's your motive? Okay, you want to give her this gift. What's your intention? What's your motive? You want to get that job. What's your intention? What's your motive? I always have to look at my motives and my intentions. Are they selfishness driven? Because if they are, thank you.
They need to get very close. Exactly. Six.
Okay. Because if they are, it's not going to work out. It's never going to work out. So I ask God to remove that, and then I'm able to share from the heart, out of compassion, out of love, and it's usually a little bit different how it works out. In this 10th step, it talks about having an experience. As a result of these steps, the promises come true. And in 10, these are the things that they tell me happened to me. It says this thought. What is this thought? That these are extravagant promises. They materialize if we work for them, right? This thought brings us to step 10, which suggests we continue to take personal inventory and continue to set right any mistakes as we go along. We vigorously commence this way of living as we clean up the past. We have entered the world of spirit.
Which page are you
on? Oh, I'm sorry, 84. We have entered the world of spirit. Our next function is to grow in understanding and effectiveness. That's my next function, to grow in understanding and effectiveness. This is not an overnight matter. It should continue for a lifetime. That's why I love people. Go. I went through all the I went through all 12 steps, and I'm going through them again. I'm like, what are you talking about? You know, that cracks me up. I've gone through all the 12 steps, and I'm going through them again.
Oh, I finished.
And yeah, I finished all 12 steps. I'm going to do them again sometime. That always makes me laugh. I'm like, that's interesting. This tell me this continues for a lifetime. I'm growing for effectiveness and more understanding. It says, continue to watch for selfishness, dishonesty, resentment, and fear. That's you. It says, continue to watch for it. I have to see when selfishness creeps up. Now, how do you suppose I'm supposed to watch for this if I'm not in the present moment? If I'm not comfortable in my own skin and present with you right now, how am I supposed to watch for selfishness and self-centeredness and fear? If I'm worried about yesterday and tomorrow, how am I watching what I'm doing right now when I'm talking to you? Interesting, isn't it? It means that it brings me in the now. It brings me in the moment. It brings me in today. I am now living in today. I'm not worried about yesterday, earlier, tomorrow. I'm only worried about right now. What are we doing right now? Because I got to pay attention to myself. I talked about it earlier. While you're talking, I'm watching me. I'm watching me, not you. I'm not watching what your body language and how you're acting and what you're doing. I'm confused if I'm doing that. I'm watching me, not you. And if I see something in you, I'm still watching me. We used to always hear, when you got one finger pointing at somebody, you got three pointing back at you. They used to tell me that in the program. Whenever you look at people and you got something to say about them, you're talking about yourself. Talking about yourself. So what I used to start doing is going, you got lovely hair. That is just a beautiful outfit. Because anything negative, I'd be talking about myself. So I started finding the good thing in you, so I could see the good thing in me. I continue to watch. I got to watch for these things. And then when it says, when these crop up, we ask God at once to remove them. I was giving you an example earlier. I'm watching for, I'm being selfish. Okay, God, take that away. That's not going to help me right now. To remove them at once. It says we discuss them with someone immediately. Sometimes I'll turn to you and go, I was just lying. Just starting to lie. Oh, my God. Do you know, at the moment, I was being very selfish. I'm sorry. That was not okay. I've done that. I use the example of the man on the plane. I got on the plane. It took me 19 hours. I'm coming from Florida. I'm exhausted. I missed my flight. I'm come now in Dallas from Florida. I really want to go home. I'm just frustrated. I am not spiritual at all. There's nothing happening. I get on the plane. It's really crowded. I've got the window seat, and this man's got the aisle, and he, to me, was huge. And I look at him and I go, oh my God, you're so huge. I was like, you're a really big man. You're a very big man. I was like, I'm going to suffocate. Can I get the aisle? And he was like, no. I was like, oh my Lord. I'm not going to be able to breathe. You're really big. Jeez Louise. I'm huffing, I'm puffing. Excuse me. And I get in there and I'm like, oh. And I sit down and relax for a minute. I'm like, okay, this is not so bad. You're tripping a little bit. And then I sit there and he's listening to his things and I'm going, you know, that was so not nice. That was so not cool to do that to that man. And I'm looking at him like, oh, damn. I called the man a big man. Man. So I was like, excuse me, tapping on his ear. Excuse me. He's like, yes. I was like, I so need to apologize to you. That was completely inappropriate of me to call you like a huge man. And I didn't even explain to him why. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter that it took me 19 hours to get home. That is not that man's problem. Do you know what I'm saying? I didn't have to explain that. It was inappropriate of me to talk to you that way. And he said, no, it's okay. I said, no, it's not okay. What can I do to make it up? I found that very offensive. And he was like, no, it's fine. I was like, no. I was like, would you like some peanuts? Take some peanuts. Can I get you something to eat? He was like, no, really, it's all right. And so that's a good example if it comes up, you know, and I'm like, I was being very selfish.
I was having a peanut.
You want my peanuts? It's not being nice to this man. It says, make amends quickly if you harmed anybody. I turn around and I go, I just caused you harm. It's not okay. Then we resolutely turn our thoughts to someone we can help. How can I be of service? How can I help somebody? How can I get out of me? I love that. People call with problems. I'm like, make a phone call and ask somebody how they're doing. Get wrapped up in ourselves. Make a call. It says, love and tolerance is our code. And now live in love and tolerance. It's our code. Oh my goodness, are we so out of character, huh? They're talking about the drunk me. Can you imagine? It says, we have ceased fighting anything or anyone. When I spend my whole life fighting, I'm not fighting anymore. What is there to fight about? What is there to fight about? For by this time, sanity has returned. And I tell you, sanity comes back in 10. In 2, you knew that it could. You believed that it could, and it does come back. It comes back in 10. That's why we tell you to keep doing the work. Don't leave 5 minutes before the miracle happens. When does the miracle happen? This is where it happens. We will seldom be interested in liquor. If tempted, we recoil from it like a hot flame. We react sanely and normally. We will find this has happened automatically. We will see that our new attitude towards liquor has been given us without any thought or effort on our part. It just comes. That is the miracle of it. That's the miracle. Can you imagine? When all I thought about was obsessing over drinking, I went with the obsession, I drank, I had this allergy, it's completely powerless, and now the drink problem is removed. That's the miracle. That is unexplainable. That's what makes it a miracle. You can't explain that. Someone who drank every day, all day long, and did nothing else but that is not doing that now. That is a miracle. You can't explain that. You can't.